and thank you for joining us here on Prophecy Update. Our host, Bill Salas, will be discussing with Doug Hamp Doug's new book, Corrupting the Image. This is part three of a three-part series. You will not want to miss this, and you can listen to parts one and two by simply going to either kwbb.org and click on Prophecy Update, or you can go to prophecydepot.com. Bill has those episodes or those editions on his website also. Let's join Bill and Doug as they continue and finish this discussion.
Places, but that is really what's going on behind the scenes. So these demons that are doing their thing, they're going to deceive mankind. And we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that God is going to send mankind a strong delusion because they do not believe the truth. And
what do you think that the ramifications of that, which ultimately leads humanity to believe what the Bible calls the lie in those passages, what do you believe that could be? I know it could be as simple as they believe the Antichrist is Christ, but a lot of people are coming up with the idea that there is an alien gospel or something like that that comes into play. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, that when the rapture happens, how is Satan going to explain this thing away? You know, he can't just say, well, I'm sorry you guys all missed the rapture. It's true, it really was coming, and, well, that's too bad. He has to have some kind of a plausible, realistic explanation for where millions and millions of people went. In fact, Ralph Winter, who's a missiologist, he estimated that 11% of the world were true followers of the Lord. Born again, if you will, and that equals about 750 million people that are going to disappear in the blink of an eye. So how do you explain for that? You have to have some kind of explanation, something that is very, that's very plausible. And so what I see happening is that people are seeing things all over the world. They're seeing these white lights up in the sky. Very often in broad daylight, there's some kind of a glowing orb, if you will, and these are demonic in nature. They're not little green men from the other side of the universe, but these are demons that are posing as these white lights. They're basically putting on their messengers of light outfit, and they're going to deceive mankind into believing that it's the aliens that have come in to take people away. And they've been sending messages to their various contacts, especially through the New Age and such, that they're coming here to help mankind. So
I find that fascinating. Why are those explanations being channeled if that isn't relative to the lie or the explanation of the rapture? So I think that in itself presents a very interesting argument. So keep going.
Right. So people have been seeing things all over the world, and we've had a lot of people that, you know, should be pretty credible over the years that have been seeing things. We've had Ronald Reagan, who on a number of times said that he saw something, and he keeps talking about these aliens that are going to, you know, supposedly out there. Jimmy Carter said that he saw something. He's seen UFOs and such.
Well, he was actually known as the UFO president. And,
yeah.
And one of the things he campaigned, inside of his campaign for president, was to try to give better access and transparency to the UFO files and classification, because it has the privilege of holding the highest ranked classification of anything in our government. So he actually, Chuck Missler was telling me this when we spoke together at a conference, that Jimmy Carter actually wept at one point because he just couldn't reveal all that stuff because it was so classified that as honorable as his intentions were, there was no way he could fulfill his campaign promise.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, he, like many others, JFK talked about them. You had Gerald Ford, before he became president, he talked about the whole UFO phenomena. Barry Goldwater made reference to it. Douglas MacArthur. In fact, you know, he has a whole thing. You now face a new world, a world of change. We speak in strange terms of harnessing the cosmic energy of ultimate conflict between a united human race and the sinister forces of some other planetary galaxy. The nations of the world will have to unite for the next world war. For the next war will be an interplanetary war, he says. The nations of the Earth must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets. So we've had these world leaders, plus we've had lots of astronauts that say that, you know, they saw this and that. In fact, Maurice Chatelain, he's a former chief of NASA Communication Systems. He stated all Apollo and Gemini flights were followed, both at a distance and sometimes also quite closely, by space vehicles of extraterrestrial origin, flying saucers or UFOs, if you want to call them by that name. Every time it occurred, the astronauts informed Mission Control, who then ordered absolute silence. So, and there's lots of other people that I
Well, and the thing too that I think is key in those passages that you've been expounding upon is that this process is revealing of the lawless one, the Antichrist, with all power, its workings of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. And what we have here is this unrighteous deception, because I've thought about this, because I subscribe to the possibility that you could have this alien gospel, that could be what the lie is referring to. You could have crafts, you know, showing up, extraterrestrial crafts hovering over Johannesburg or something like that. And, yeah. and you think, well, why would Satan use such a strange type of campaign? I mean, you know, the Bible talks about other intelligent life. It talks about angels and demons and good angels and fallen angels and this and that. Why would Satan choose to use these extra-biblical type weird spacecrafts and these weird, you know, looking beings, whoever they're going to be? But I think I started thinking about this, Doug, and I thought, well, why wouldn't he? Because if he's trying to lie away the rapture, explain away the rapture, the last thing he wants to do is show up as a bunch of fallen angels, because the Bible talks about that, and that adds credence to the Bible, therefore that adds credence to the rapture.
Yeah, and I think he's really been on overtime since the days of Darwin, because evolution has given mankind a platform to plausibly reject creation. Before Darwin came along, you really couldn't be an atheist with much teeth, because you still had that sticky question of, well, where did we come from? But when Charles Lyell and also Hutton as well, but, you know, certainly with Charles Darwin, now you had a theory, though it's full of holes from, you know, front to back, but still, it's a plausible philosophy of how we got here. It's enough, anyway, let's say that. It's enough, you know, pseudoscience explanation for how we got here. So I really believe that's why evolution, Darwinism specifically, and the end times really go hand in hand, because you cannot have one without the other. Until you can get rid of God in the minds of people, you can't really get away from the final judgment and all this other stuff. But once you can say, no, it wasn't God that created the world, it all happened through evolutionary processes, and it was the demon or the aliens who dropped off DNA. You know, it's a fascinating. I mean, this sounds like a really wacky theory, but Francis Crick and Watson, I forget Watson's last name, but Crick believed in what was called directed panspermia, and this was dubbed by Sir Frederick Hoyle, but directed panspermia suggests that DNA, because it is so complex and information does not just happen, that somehow DNA hitched a ride on the back of a comet or something, or perhaps even Space Brothers way back when dropped it off on planet Earth, and they've been watching it, superintending over it ever since then. And now that we've finally come of age and we're able to break the codes of our own genome and you know, we're ready to evolve to the next level. Now they're going to show up in our time of greatest need, and they're going to help us, you know, kind of take us by the hand and help us along.
And it sounds absolutely bizarre, but at the same token, one of the most popular pop videos on YouTube right now is Katy Perry's E.T., which talks about alien sex.
And I know, exactly. Yeah, the propaganda goes with this. It's not just that, you know, it's some guys with tinfoil hats that are smoking something they shouldn't, but this is all over the place. And you have other, lots and lots of propaganda. We see this in the movies all the time of where the Earth is about to get blown up, but the aliens come and save it. Now, that's one scenario. The other is that they come and destroy it. And even that, I think, is fascinating, because I think the way this is all going to play out in the end, the second coming is not going to be so much Jesus Christ returning from heaven, at least not in the eyes of the people on Earth. But I think it's going to be, the way they're going to spin it, is that here we are, the good aliens, that is. We've arrived, we're helping you, mankind, to achieve your greatest potential. Oh, but watch out. Here comes this other evil alien force that wants to do you harm. And so now we all need to unite to fight against them. And this is where the whole Mark of the Beast comes in, and kind of to round out our conversation here, finish it off. And, of course, getting back to where we started, Genesis 3:15.
I don't want to be rude on this, but I do want to, before we leave 2 Thessalonians, I want to ask your thought on something, and then I do want to conclude with the Genesis 3:15 connection into the Antichrist that you're talking about. And there is this thing, this teaching that people who hear the gospel, and they pull it out of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 12, some Bible prophecies teach, and I believe it's a dissenting opinion, it's a minority view at this point, and I don't concur with it. But some people believe that if someone hears the gospel before the rapture, that after the rapture they don't get a second chance to get saved, even though there are plenty of people that show up saved in the tribulation, in Revelation 6 and Revelation 7 and elsewhere. Those people, they would say, don't include the people who had heard the gospel prior to the rapture. What say you? Do you think that there's something there in that teaching?
Well, I think it's possible. I think we're kind of slicing and dicing in areas that we can't speak with a lot of certainty. But I think from the text, it would at least we could infer that those that have had ample opportunity to believe the truth today deny it, and then when they are confronted with now the counterfeit salvation plan, they fully embrace it, and they're not able to,
but
in their own minds, go back. I think it's at least plausible. I don't know if you can prove it 100%.
But there's a lot of things that would mean, and I actually write about this in my book coming out, Revelation Road, but I mean, that would mean that the 144,000 Jews that get sealed for the service of God only hear about the gospel after the rapture, which seems a little bit implausible.
It does, yeah.
But anyway, so I just wanted your
initial... I don't
initial...
have a strong opinion on it, so I you know...
Okay, and so, and that is not real germane to what we're talking about, but because it's been bothering me, you know, I've been asking people about it. But let's get on now. What are you talking about with this Antichrist in relationship to, what do you find with this DNA conversation you're trying to bring forward? Because I find that quite fascinating.
Yeah, well, and just to summarize, I can't go into all the verses and such, but, you know, again, all the things that we, the groundwork we've laid so far, is that it's a genetic issue. And the Antichrist is going to be genetically related to Satan in some way. He's going to be his son, for lack of better words, he's going to be Satan's son. But I don't think that he's going to be procreated in the same way that the sons of God did in the days of Noah. What I see is a man who already has the spirit of Antichrist. He already is fully aligned with the Luciferian doctrine. He already believes in Satan as being the good guy, and he wants to align himself as much as possible. He's got lots of power. He's got everything he could practically want, but he's still lusting after that ultimate power. And, you know, it says in Daniel that he'll be a man that understands sinister schemes, and I think some of the secret societies fulfill that role. But be that as it may, this man is going to want the ultimate power. And so Satan, recognizing that, you know, here's his boy, he then makes available his DNA. And you say, well, wait a second, huh? You know, angels don't have DNA. Well, sure they do. We see that back in the days of Noah, the sons of God, which are angels, they passed on their seed to women, and they begot these Nephilim babies. They had these hybrid creatures. That's what a Nephilim is. It's a hybrid between a human, a woman, and a demon. And so it's going to happen again, but I don't think it's going to happen through sexual relations at this point, at least not with Satan. I think he's going to wait for the man that he sees has the greatest potential. And now, using a new technology called recombinant DNA, he can give this guy his seed without having to have made him such from birth, but he can actually give him his genetic code, and then this Antichrist fellow will take it, and he'll open up his own DNA, put in this satanic strain, and then it'll close back up. And this isn't science fiction. This is called recombinant DNA. It's so common that they can actually do this in advanced placement biology classes in high school. And what they do is an enzyme goes along a DNA strand. They look for the base sequence that they want. They then snip it. They put in just like a little piece of tape, you know, just like when he used to, you know, splice a piece of tape into another one for a video or something. That's kind of what they're doing. Except in this case, it's a gene that you find beneficial. So they're doing this, for example, where high schoolers will take the glow-in-the-dark gene from a jellyfish, and they'll put it in a little single-celled organism to make this thing glow-in-the-dark. I mean, they've already created glow-in-the-dark pigs, glow-in-the-dark mice, glow-in-the-dark cats, glow-in-the-dark monkeys, and again, they're taking this genetic material from the jellyfish and they're injecting it in animals to make them glow in the dark. And they've even made things like spider goats. I mean, there's a whole realm called transhumanism, and the goal is to transform humanity, something that's beyond human, that's post-human. And what better way to do it than to take the genes from, let's say, eagles, and you want to have eagle-eye vision. Well, you splice that into your own code, and now you've upgraded your vision. If you want to have the strength of a gorilla, well, you splice that into your code, and now you have their strength. So imagine if this advanced civilization, and again, think in the way that the world is thinking, this advanced civilization shows up, that the one that Stephen Hawking has been telling us about, the one that Michio Kaku has been telling us about, it now shows up, and they say, listen, we're here, we're going to help you guys, we want you to evolve to be like us, and we're going to give you our DNA. And the spokesman for these people is the Antichrist. He has already gone through this process using Satan's DNA to create his own. So he really has become the son of Satan. He's become the son of perdition. The seed of the serpent spoken of in Genesis 3:15, and I think it's fascinating that in Revelation, he's called the beast. He's consistently called the beast, and I think he's called that because he's a beast. He's a chimera, a hybrid. He's not fully human anymore. He was born human, but now he's had this second birth of sorts, where he's become a beast, a mix, and then he takes his DNA that is mixed with Satan, and he replicates it and makes it available to the world and says, here, take this, and you will be like us. You'll have the powers that we have. You'll be transcendent like we are. You'll have immortality like we have, and all kinds of other goodies. And this is essentially the mark of the beast.
And thus, it's far deeper than a cashless society where no one simply buys or sells unless they take this mark. One of the benefits of taking the mark is being involved in this cashless society. And yes, maybe it is some sort of an implant, which a lot of people teach. But what you're suggesting is it's got a whole lot more to deal with that than that, probably code and DNA and things like that. And so therefore, the garden lie that said you can be like God, Satan duped Eve and Adam, saying you can be like God. Now what you're suggesting is the Antichrist is going to come along and say, here, take this, and we'll show you how that works.
Exactly. And this would explain why in Revelation chapter 9, when it says men are seeking death, but it escapes them. You know, I mean, you think about it. If you really wanted to kill yourself, I mean, certainly you can find a way, right? I mean, you know, there must be 50 ways to leave your lover in this way, 50 ways to kill yourself, right, according to quote Simon and Garfunkel. So here, you know, you can throw yourself in front of a bus or do something. I'm sure you can find a way, but this way you cannot. You cannot kill yourself. Why not? Because you're immortal. You've actually done something. Something has been changed within your own self that you can't die like you used to, which was the very reason that you took it in the first place. But obviously it's going to have very adverse effects on people. And this would also explain, this is the ultimate thing, is that men are no longer redeemable. If anybody takes the mark, it's, you know, it's lights out for him. There's no second chance.
That's the no second. That's the true no second chance right there.
Yeah, exactly. So if you take the mark, it's over. You will not be pardoned if you take that. And this is where I get to this whole thing of corrupting the image. Certainly our image has, you know, it's corrupted from the fall. But it's still, it's in the image of the one who made us. It just has errors in the code. And God came to correct that, you know, sent Jesus to correct the code, to upgrade our code, etc. But Satan says, no, I have a different plan for you. I'm going to give you my code, and you can become in my image and become the God that you want to be, live forever, and yada yada. And yet, it's going to end in absolute, it's going to be devastating. So that's the picture that I see that Scripture is teaching us, and it's all in the pages of Scripture. You just have to keep digging, you know, but it's in there. And then I think with just being in the information age, being in the genetic age, a lot of the things that were somewhat mysterious before now make a lot of sense. We say, oh, that's how God did this or that, and that's how the enemy could kind of do this and that. So we see it all converging to one point, and ultimately I think Satan, you know, not only to destroy mankind, but also to even out the odds. It says in Daniel chapter 8, it says, because of transgression, an army will be given over to the little horn. And if you look in Revelation chapter 19, we find that all the earth and the beast and the false prophet were gathered together to battle against the Lord Jesus. I mean, that really is their goal. It's not to fight one another. It's to fight him who's coming back on the white horse. That is their stated goal. And what I think he wants to do is to add a few more soldiers to his army. And what better way to do that than to create hybrids out of the entire human race, if possible. I mean, many are not going to go for it, and they're going to lose their heads in the process, but certainly a good number will go for it and pay the ultimate price.
Well, you know what? I will have to say this, Doug. You articulated these deep concepts very well, and that was our prayer before the program, wasn't it? That we could get people to understand how you came to these conclusions, and they make a lot of sense. And so, as we conclude here, why don't you tell us once again the name of your book, how to get your book, how to get a hold of you. And I do appreciate the fact that you stated earlier in part one of this program, which, by the way, will turn out to be a three-part program, that you do respond to your email questions that you get. So that's really neat, because a lot of people need to connect, and they will have questions after this program. So,
I'm sure they will.
So the name of the book, the way to reach you, and that sort of thing, let's talk about that right now.
Yeah, it's called Corrupting the Image, Angels, Aliens, and the Antichrist Reveal. It's on my website, douglashamp.com. They can also get it at survivormall.com or amazon.com. And in fact, I have the chapters of the book on my website if people want to just read it there, but, you know, there's certainly the book if they want to also. You know, and if anybody wants me to come and speak at a church here and there, I'm happy to do that as well. So.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, we'll certainly promote that as well and get you back on the program. Doug, what a pleasure, and thank you for taking time out of your day to be with us here on Prophecy Update radio program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's all the time we have for this edition of Prophecy Update. That was our final edition with our discussion with Doug Hamp and Corrupting the Image with our host, Bill Salas. Join us next time here on Prophecy Update, where we strive to authenticate the sovereignty of Jesus Christ through prophecy. Until then, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.